Why shouldn't we rule ourselves again? It was the dragons we married, and the dragons are all dead. There's the only king I mean to bow my knee to, my lords. The king in the north.
Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons license music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
So, about that... About that opening, King of the North, eh?
King of the North, eh?
You know, it's sad. Normally, the quotes wind up prompting some sort of entertaining reaction on our end. And that was a really good quote. Why are we such Debbie Downers today?
I mean, you said R, and that really confused me. That's a pirate thing.
Yeah, I'm going to blame it on you. It's not even National Pirate Day, and you're just trying to throw those, that's
not for 2 months. Yeah.
You're trying to, like, throw those things up all in our face, you know, shaking them, distracting us. We don't want any part of that.
I don't want any part of that, Will.
What else are you going to do with a hook for a hand? All I can think of is shake it.
I won't be touching mine, if that was the case.
Well, welcome to Two Champs, One Champ. My name is Catfish Ferguson.
My name is Daryl. I was legitimately trying to think of something hilarious to say, and I couldn't. So, fuck a couch.
All right, way to be. I'm just going to declare myself Louis the Sun King.
All right, then.
That's weird.
Also known as Will Lentz. And, you know, I can't actually really believe I just compared myself to Renaissance-era French king, for anybody that was really confused by my reference.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I like you.
But Versailles...
But
Blue's pronounced Versailles.
Versace.
Yes. Handbags. Go.
I mean, are we gonna change our podcast being all about handbags?
All about handbags. We'll get Kristen back in as the new co-host.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she can discuss that far better than we can.
They're bags that you put around your hand. We've reached the extent of my experience.
You're welcome.
So I guess it's on me to actually tell our listeners what the heck we're doing this episode.
No, I'll do it. We're going to go ahead and build a deck, and it's going to be House of Dreams, 10 Towers. Let's do this.
Brilliant.
I don't want to build that deck, guys.
We really wanted a challenge. We wanted something that was really going to throw Tiny and Dark Nodge off, and we couldn't think of any better way to do it than that.
I mean, we're going to have, like, a, you know... 8 gold setup with the most broken card in the game. Prepare yourselves.
Yeah, it actually functionally is borderline broken. Just not balance-wise. but yeah, for any listeners that are kind of confused and are like, oh, Lord, they're deck building again already. We had a comment to the last deck building episode. That suggested that we just go ahead and build a couple different decks and then let the listeners vote on which one we use to face off against Summer is Coming. So I think we decided we were going to wind up building 3, right?
Sounds good,
so
I guess.
Then yes. This is deck number 2. It was slightly delayed by the FAQ release last week, but now we're back on track.
Back on track.
So, yeah, all right. So our first card we're going to pull is Ten Towers.
Ten Towers.
I don't want to build this deck.
Probably 3X, probably.
You know, I mean, we better have 4X. Those dupes in the deck just in case.
And then the next card we're going to put is Search and Detain. And we're actually going to search and detain it to our hand at the very beginning of the game to throw our opponents off.
And hope we win initiative, that is.
Well, we will, yeah. Next, we're going to splash in without his beard anyways. Oh, it's House Martone. It'll be fine.
It's House Lannister only.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Unbowed, Unbanned, Unbroken is House Martell only. So I'm not sure, but you know what I think we could splash? The Salty Dornishman, because, you know, they kind of fit with that seafaring theme of the Graveyard. And we can use naval icons, I think.
Okay, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to need some influence. So, Missandei?
Yep, that's what I was going to say. Let's run 3X of her.
She's real good. Maybe the Great Pyramid of Marine. We can use the Greyjoy location to make it cheap enough to play out of house.
Sure.
Because really, who plays with the Greyjoy influence cards?
That's nobody. That's a good point. Not me. But we will be putting in 3X of the Drowned Prophet.
Oh, well, yeah, because with all those, we're going to have a lot of influence floating around.
How far are you guys going to take this?
I don't know.
I'm starting to wonder myself.
I wanted to stop, but you know me, I can't. It's not in my nature.
Listeners, I apologize for my moderately dumb co-hosts.
It's okay. Half of the listeners already turned it off, so it's fine.
I hope they did. I feel sorry for anyone still here.
So what are we actually doing then, Brett?
I believe the plan is to build a Martell Maester control deck.
I think that's what we're leaning toward.
I believe so.
That's what we're leaning toward.
Dale's original idea was just playing Martell and then choosing the spear, and that's as far as his idea went.
He was actually going to play 60 copies.
Yeah.
It's going to be glorious. But we thought we wanted something that would be more interesting to build a deck around, not something too straightforward, something that maybe we could fit some new cards in, and of course, choosing the spear. Works nicely with maesters and with the restrictions and things. I think building one would feel kind of new, actually. So.
Agreed.
Also agreed.
So what's the most important first question when building Martell Maesters in the current environment?
Whether or not you're going to wear boxers or briefs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Clearly, boxer briefs is the actual best answer.
That is actually the correct answer.
The best of both worlds.
Whoever chose one or the other, shame on you. You are a fool.
Now, for a moment that boxers were restricted and briefs were restricted, thus meaning that you could only choose one or the other.
I've had this dark fantasy. Every good story starts off with that. That about wearing just these old man white briefs and like trying to be sexy for a lady, just like propped up on her couch.
I'll be sure to tell Robin.
My junk just jumbled, you know, in like a weird shape.
Like, you know what? So Brett, what question were you gonna go with?
Well, I was gonna once you came up with that, to be pretty little metaphor there. It's a metaphor, right? The boxers and briefs representing the Maester agenda, or Refugee of the Citadel, or I'm also going to toss Manthongs in there as the Conclave.
Yeah, nice.
As your restricted cards of choice for a Martell Maester deck, because
what would Tinling be in that situation? Going Commando?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So, which do you guys think is probably the best bet for a Martell Maester deck? I can see reasons for all of them. Maybe not necessarily as legit reasons, but I can see reasons.
I mean, in my opinion, it really comes down to the Maester's Path agenda, which gives you all the chain shenanigans, deck thinning, extra control effects, craziness like that, or Refugee of the Citadel as just a cheap Martell Maester we can use to abuse with our choosing the spear.
Yeah, though I could still see the Conclave fairly likely if you wanted to play some sort of rushy sort of version, but without the refugees, that wouldn't be as nice as before.
Yeah, well, also with the Conclave, we're not going to be able to stand them with choosing the spear. Not that that's a huge deal, but you're going to want to be able to get multiple challenges off of with those guys, and you're not really going to be able to do that at a Martell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So of the two best, in my opinion, options, it's the Maester's Path thing is going to get my vote of between Maester's Path and Refugee of the Citadel.
Yeah, I think the agenda is still the most compelling option for the deck thinning and what amounts to automatic search.
Yep. Agreed.
So we have our house, agenda, and restricted card done.
Well played. Okay.
Now that's efficiency.
Yeah. So now what? Do we go ahead and load up on some chains just so that we've already got are thinking about that? Do we just throw everything on there right now that's not a tin link, or what do we do?
Great question. I would rather just pick out some characters and then sort of see what chains we're gonna need. Because, I mean, otherwise, I'm a guy who'll put... I mean, I've put 10 chains on there before.
Okay.
Like, they all have fantastic utility, so I think it's just going to depend on our icon spread and what else we're trying to do.
Okay. So, say what, I put it on neutral and Martell, and I ran a search for Maesters so that we could get a feeling for it. So let's see, what fits here? Advisor to the Crown? It kind of depends on what sort of influence stuff we're going to do.
I can see it being on the short list, depending if we do go influence heavy.
Right.
Between them and Maester Kedri is an option.
Yes.
I do love that guy.
I don't know if I'm sold on it right now, but it is an option.
Mm-hmm.
What about Ebros? I've seen him around a good bit lately.
I just do not like Ebros.
I like Ebros, but... not in Joust. I like.
I mean, you want to have him immediately so you can start loading up your chains on him, you know, at the start of the game, rather than being like your big finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Is always my issue with him.
Yeah.
Okay. By the time you drop him as a big finisher, you've already moved all the chains off your agenda, and he's not doing anything for you.
Well, we can sure skip him. What about Archmaester Marwyn?
I've actually been getting into that guy a little bit more recently.
Me too. That's funny. I like Marwyn.
Shall we drop a Marwyn in?
I think we drop a Marwyn in.
There's no reason not to. He's good.
He does kind of make our plot choices a little more specific, as we need to be counting on having wind revealed effects we can use with him, and we can't count on our opponent to be playing... wind revealed plots.
Yeah, we do probably need a couple for sure of our own wind reveals, but I think it's likely the opponent will have something we'll wind up wanting to copy as well. Just in case. But anyway. So one Marwyn?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up would be the Informed Acolyte. He's not bad. Solid strength for cost ratio. Just have that one press. The ability is nothing to write home about exactly, but if someone happens to be playing Flea Bottom Scavengers or something, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like him just fine.
I don't like him. I mean, that's all I really have to say about him. He doesn't do enough for me.
Okay, so Daryl's fairly well against. Zyler doesn't care, and I'm not terribly partial at the moment, so maybe we'll skip the Acolyte.
Sounds like a plan.
Initiate of the Citadel. You know, if we were doing some tricks with returning attachments, I'd say maybe, but I don't think we'll have anything like that in mind.
I've always loved this guy, but I don't think he has a place in this deck.
And he's neat, but I don't disagree.
Okay, the core set Maester Aemon for the save. I'm tempted to say a copy.
A copy, yeah.
I've always been tempted for Aemon. I think we can put him in and cut him later if we need to.
Okay. And then we've got a copy of Maester Kedri.
Hell but yeah.
Even if we don't use much influence, I still think a copy of him is worth it.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we're not using influence, I don't think we need him, honestly. I mean, Advisor of the Crown is superior in general.
I could see us using influence. We'll see.
Well, maybe he's superior in general. Advisor does cost more and is not Martell.
Correct.
So,
I mean, you still get him without the gates. He has an extra the extra cost.
But yeah, that's not saying superior without the gates. That's just the same.
Kedri's unique, which helps a lot. Who cares? We're putting Kedri in the deck.
Okay, whatever.
we can pull him later. Maester Miles? Seems like he's worth a copy. He's been more useful than I expected when I've seen him played lately.
God, I love Maester Miles, but now that the Scourge is restricted... Ugh.
Yeah, but we're so also going to potentially have some icon removal in the deck with a certain chain, which makes Miles quite a bit more practical.
That's true. All right.
We might. If you guys want to throw one in, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got Maester of Lemonwood.
Shit, yeah.
I'll copy or two, probably.
Where more and more condition attachments are starting to see play, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards two myself.
Me too.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. The ever popular in Martell decks, anyway, Maester of War. Do we still triple him up?
No, Maester of the Sun?
The Maester of the Sun winds up being next on my search for some reason.
That's weird.
Okay, well, Maester of War, I think three of.
Probably.
Okay.
Maybe two, I don't know.
I mean, start with three, we'll cut down to two if we need to.
Good idea.
That does send me to Maester of the Sun next.
Who we play. Yeah. Even without someone we play.
Yeah, he's great. Better when it's summer, but he's great on his own.
I mean, Vengeful's awesome. If we're looking at chains that kneel to do things.
If you get extra use out of them.
Yeah, Vengeful's really handy there. So, trips?
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Old Town Advisor. You know, I was back and forth on him when he very first released. I was like, it looks powerful, but two chains sucks. And then for a long time, he was written off. And then he started getting more popular again. I played him in that Greyjoy Maesters back at the Moonboy, and turned out he was awesome.
He was awesome until Brett played Too Proud to Bow.
Well, yeah.
But
who else is going to do that?
Yeah, nobody
hopefully,
else.
Hopefully everyone.
I like Old Town Advisor. I would put two in there.
Yeah, I like two copies just fine.
I mean, again, we won't be able to stand him with Choosing the Spear, but I don't think that's going to be a gigantic card in this deck. I think the majority of the work is going to be done with the chains anyways.
Sure thing. That gives me Old Town Scholar next, which I think we can probably do without. If we had Conclaves available, I'd say it might be worth it, but... Mm-hmm. I think we're okay without him.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Refugees are up next, but restricted, so can't use them.
Automatically out.
And then Starfall Healer. We don't really have a Dane theme, and I'm not feeling him without a Dane theme.
Nope.
Then the last is the Conclave on my list, but
so sad.
Also restricted, so.
Yep.
So that gives us 14 Maesters right now, by my count.
That's a fine number.
Does that feel pretty reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And one does have a built-in save, so.
Yeah.
Okay, what should be next on our search?
I mean, I'm cool with jumping back to chains.
Okay. Well, let's see, we could just go down the line. If we want, same way here. First one is Apprentice Card.
Should we get an idea of how many chains we want to play before we start going down and just tossing them in? I usually find that's a little easier on my Maester decks to know how many chains I'm willing to play.
Yeah. You know, in Maester decks these days, I'm leaning towards, you know, I don't necessarily have a set number in mind right now, but I am leaning towards running a few main deck. Even if it's just a couple extra apprentice collars. Mm-hmm. Mainly because I'd like the extra triggers for forging the chain on down the line. But also apprentice collar is pretty rad on setup and is nice against blanking effects.
Yep.
But there's a couple other chains that are I could potentially see throwing, you know, a copy in the main deck. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always liked running around seven chains on my on my house card.
Yeah, so six or seven. I feel like is the pretty much magic number there.
Apprentice collars.
This is specifically ones on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As far as apprentice collars in the main deck go, I mean, they can work. I normally will put them in if I've got, well, when the conclaves were still legal to play with the agenda, obviously, or if we're worried about, if we've got like some beefy characters and we're worried about, what's the name of it? Search and Detain.
But, yeah. I mean, it helps with a variety of things. Of course, it's zero cost, non-limited, and can be played on setup, provided you have a character to put it on. It helps with a little burn protection by being an attachment and giving plus one strength, potentially more strength, if there's some other chains floating around. Did I say gives the blank protection?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it earlier.
My bad. I'm also drinking a gin and tonic as we podcast here. And a few extra copies are really handy. I think in the deck, if you're running something like Old Town Advisor that needs a set number of chains on it to work.
That's true.
Good idea.
You know, you're not limiting yourself just by having to win a couple of challenges to turn them on. You can do it out of hand.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. And it's also going to help you lean towards drawing more cards if we put the Valyrian Steel Link in. Or you know, counting more gold, obviously.
It gives you a little bit better leeway to, say, throw Valyrian on a Maester you don't really care about for, say, challenges or X, Y, or Z, and then just slap another Apprentice Collar on it so you can draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't have to make the choice between using it for challenges or using them for draw.
Yeah, yeah. Or even if it's potentially an Old Town Advisor, it can kind of help mitigate having to choose between draw or cancel and stuff like that.
Mitigate.
Yeah.
All right, let's put three on.
That's what I'm saying. Three Apprentice Collars.
Yep, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
I mean, most Maester decks are probably going to be running Valyrian Steel Link and Lead Link also.
Dude, yes. Lead Link is just too good to not run. And I love the Valyrian Steel Link. I've never main decked any of the cost two links. That's a lie. I had a Targaryen when I was playing around with that I used the Lead Link with.
But I don't know if I would main deck a Lead Link. I would be halfway tempted to main deck a Valyrian Steel if we are looking at other main deck links.
God. Yep. Now I want to start this over and just build a Targ one because the fighting pit's insane. Anyways, we don't have to do that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do we look at any extras there? Just stick with one each for now?
Stick with one each for now, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another one that I would really like to have on the house card here is the Black Iron
Link. Absolutely.
Yeah. If we've got Maester Miles in the deck, that's the chain for him. Not necessarily on him, but
to enable him.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, if we played against our doppelgangers, they would obviously have put a Power Behind the Throne deck together, so it'd be good to take Cersei's Intrigue.
Yeah, exactly.
Always be prepared.
The evil two champs, one jump?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I'm picturing this exactly like the doppelgangers in C-Lab. straight down to Daryl's doppelganger having like a bird face.
That would rule. One I'm going to lobby for to put in this deck, just because it's come in handy for me time and time again, has been the Iron Link. Now, I do realize that our Maester of War will give military icons, but that plus two strength can go a long way, especially when it's on Arianne Martell. That bitch is cray.
Yeah, and the Maester of War does not actually give her that military icon.
Unless we drop an apprentice collar on her.
Indeed.
Which we could.
I've never been a big fan of the Steel Link.
Iron Link, you mean?
Iron Link.
I mean, the Steel Link.
All these metals confuse me.
Yeah. Well, you know, a metal that I am a fan of, bronze.
I'm also a fan of bronze.
I do like a bronze link. Generally, the last link that I would take off of the agenda in case something goes haywire.
Bronze link is, aside from first color, the other link that I'm most often to run an extra copy of in the main deck.
Agreed. Do we look at running one in the main deck?
On the agenda. I would push for it. I like it a lot.
Okay.
Just to give us some potential recursion without having to win an extra challenge.
I mean, what are we really trying to recur? Like, what are we trying to recur, really? Like, whenever you need to recur your chains, you're just going to run Forging the Chain or get that bronze link off your house. Like, I don't understand why we'd do that.
Okay, we can just run one then.
Okay.
Daryl
feels a lot more strongly about this than either of us.
Yeah, I'm just making contingency plans, but yeah, you're right. Maybe between Forging the Chain and the one on the agenda, we'll be set. Like I said, I would normally pick Bronze Link to be the last one to move off the agenda anyway, so that, I mean, unless you need it earlier because something has already gone haywire, but you know, there's another one I would really like to see on the house card that we have not mentioned yet. And okay. I mean agenda when I say house card. Mm-hmm. That is the Gold Link.
See, over the last, 2 years since it's been out, I've actually been... The Gold Link was one of the auto-includes initially for me when I was building my Maester decks, but more recently, I don't even play it anymore, honestly.
Well, really?
Yeah.
It can be really good when you can abuse it a lot, but like it always ends up on a Maester where you have like a Lead Link on him. And in Martell, you don't have a ton of ways to stand right now, so you're like, am I gonna use my Lead Link? Am I gonna use this Gold Link? So, and if you know, it's not on that beefy Maester with all the attachments, it's just on some chud with a Gold Link on him, and that's it.
Yeah. The best thing about Gold Link is that it is really good against Greyjoy Choke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that matchup, though, I never want to see a Gold Link.
Really, man. I guess I just really like income. Plus, I know that we've got stuff like Old Town Advisor that wants chains. I mean, we only have 7 total chains in the deck right now, which feels a little low to me.
I mean, I could definitely be...
And only 5 of those could go.
I mean, I could be swayed to a gold, unless we're going to do like some Copper Link and Dissension shenanigans. I mean, I could be swayed on a Gold Link, especially if you guys don't want to do the Iron Link, which I think is dope shit. Because other than that, we have Pale Steel. And, we haven't put Valerian on there, have we?
Yes. We did.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Or I did, at least.
Oh, I did, too. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you did mention Pale Steel. There are a few decent options with Pale Steel.
Sunstroke. I guess.
I really like Sunstroke. Same. And honestly, that's something that's not bad to return with Bronze Links.
Yeah. And with Pale Steel, you can toss it out mid-challenge.
You know, honestly, if we do look at that, I'd be tempted to drop in a Pale Steel Link on the agenda, and maybe another copy of Bronze Link then in the draw deck,
mm-hmm.
if we're wanting to try to abuse Sunstroke.
I mean, now, if that's the case, yes, I could see that.
I mean, with that.
We could take this in a new direction.
Actually, thinking about it here, got an idea. What if, because we're looking at new ways to kind of tackle the Martell Maester thing. What if we do look at a few more main decks, run a little bit of influence stuff, and run desperate measures so that our Bronze Links and Forging the Chain can just pull whatever we want right back out of the discard.
I kind of like that. Maybe we should...
I don't know if I like that.
Dude, I mean, well, here's the thing. I mean, that comes similar to You know, because then we could run that Arya Hotar, and we could kind of do some self-mill stuff. I mean, if, you know, I don't know. I could see that. I kind of like the flavor of that.
I like the idea that between the agenda and the desperate measures, we're going to be grabbing the cards that we want just lickety-split. And, I don't know. Like I said, I like the idea of being able to kind of tackle it in a new way and grab some extra things.
Okay. I mean, I can be okay with that. I would want to probably run probably 3x Bronze Leagues in the main deck then. Or 3x total, 2 in the draw deck, 1 on the agenda. Sorry.
I mean, it would be neat also to get multiple Bronze Links back, and then you can, you know, pop them on your dudes, and then it's just, you know, beefier dude, more links. I like it.
I could be okay with that. If we...
go ahead.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, if we do that, we don't want to go too high on attachments, no, though. But if we went up to 3 Bronze Links... that's going to give us 9 attachments, though the main deck ones are all set up, thankfully. 5 would be on our house card, and then we could throw in 3 Sunstrokes.
Sunstroke.
Which would bring us to 12 total attachments, though only, you know, 3 out of the 7 in the deck would not be playable on setup.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
I mean, okay. It's a gamble, but, I mean, it's worth a shot.
Okay.
Are we missing any links to put on our house?
Oh, sorry, Pale Steel, if we're talking about doing that.
Oh, yeah, I thought I was already on, sorry.
No, I forgot to add it in here, which will actually bring us up to 6 to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we happen to want an extra Pale Steel in the draw deck. But unless we were running a bunch of like out of house stuff to cheat with Pale Steel, I think we're probably good with just the 1.
I mean,
I'm not above putting Boat Swains in the deck. Nothing wrong with a little extra beef.
Yeah. I think that's a different deck entirely. Because I know Joe was running a version of that. Like I think it was 2 years ago at a regional where he was playing Macers with a ton of Pale Steelings and playing all the really good 1 and. Zero costs.
Yeah, I remember he was even running the Greyjoy Choke attachment.
He was playing Burning Pillage,
yeah.
Now, one thing I will say is, are we sure that we don't want to put the Copper Link in? And the reason I say that is, yeah, we could do some Dissension stuff if we wanted to, but we could also give people a Maester trait, and when we've got our Maester of War out there, it's going to give them a military icon. You know, that could be kind of beneficial. We could also, obviously, allies and stuff like that if we're going to put Sir Zokard in. I don't know. There's a lot of utility in the Copper Link.
I mean, the Copper Link's fine, but I'd want to work in a decent amount of trait effects.
Yeah.
More than just, like, an Zokard and Maester of War.
I think I like the idea of going the discard pile and attachment abuse more than the trait manipulation abuse on this deck, because I just think you need several slots for both of those. I don't know that there's enough slots to go around for both.
Right. Well, I was just talking about the general utility of the Copper Link, but that's fine.
I'm taking a quick flip here through the other Martell attachments to see what else might be worthwhile. Of course, Taste for Blood is always pretty good.
Keep in mind, we have how many attachments that aren't set up right now?
3.
3, and then we already wanted to play 3 Choosing the Spear, and with Sunstrokes, I think the Viper's Rage? Is that the one?
Yeah, after you lose the challenge by 4, they take all their icons, yes.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure I was seeing the right card there.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty natural fit as well. And so at that point, we are getting up there in non-setupable cards.
Okay, so scratch that then. I went ahead and added the Desperate Measures. And you wanted to run, what was the name of the event?
The Viper's Rage.
Okay. Is it worth a full triplicate? Or...
That card's really good.
Yeah, I would say it probably is.
Okay.
And to think, if we were running that Iron Link, it would help boost our opponent up by 2 strength, too, man. They wouldn't know what to do.
I do have to admit, Daryl makes a really good point. If we're running 6 cards now that need us to lose by 4, Iron Link starts looking pretty good.
Toss in an Iron Link.
Yes. 7 chains. I knew I was going to get my 7 chains.
Daryl always gets what he wants.
That's right.
Okay. Let's see. What else do we need here to help round things out? I'm at 34 total cards, 6 events, 14 characters, and 14 attachments right now.
I mean, some income locations.
That sounds like a good idea. I'm leaning towards C's to begin with for a little, little more influence.
Yeah. I am A-okay with that.
Okay. 3 Summer Seas.
And then Water Gardens and Palace Fountains, probably.
Those are all limited. Do we want to run 6 limited?
I don't think it's much of an issue. Maybe go down to like 3 and 2.
That's what I was kind of leaning towards.
I love Palace Fountains.
As do I, Daryl. As do I.
Yeah, it's not going to work on any of our neutral cats, but it's still good.
Well, I mean, I've only got 4 neutrals in the deck right now by my count.
1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah, it is only 4. Okay. Palace Fountains it is. There's nothing wrong with running Palace Fountains and Water Gardens. I've been there.
Man, I've been there many times in all of my Martell decks.
Okay. We can run 3 of each.
I mean, I'm probably going 3 and 2, Will. You're right. Just mean 6 limited locations is on the low side of high.
That's tough. I would still say we could put 6 in. I mean, I don't know. I've been wrong before.
I'm fine with it. I've been
okay. I just didn't want to sound bossy. I wanted to let you guys get your opinions in.
Okay. We do probably need Shadow Black and Street of Sisters looking at our icon spread.
Yeah. And then I'm actually coming a lot more around on Flea Bottom and River Row than I have been in the past. Both those cards are pretty much all my decks. Especially, it's not ideal, but we can Flea Bottom in a guy and then choosing to spear them.
I was going to say, we haven't put choosing the spear in.
Of course, I mean, before we do that, just throwing this out here, but with Summer Sea, Water Garden, Palace Fountains, Street of Sisters, and Shadowbug Lane, that does already put us at 11 locations. I mean, for my own personal OCD, I would like to go to 12, but or down to 10, but, you know, how many do we reasonably need?
I mean, Flea Bottom's dope. I think that it would come in handy, too. You know, you just put your little Maester of War down. I mean, you don't really expect him to do anything. Just give that icon.
We have Maester of the Sun with Vengeful. Which is fine to drop in, have it be Nell, lose a challenge, and have him stand back up.
Yep.
So drop in a Flea Bottom to bring us to an even 12.
With that.
Okay.
I don't think there are any Martell locations that we're missing, as at least power locations in this deck, are we? Like anything like Baller?
There's one I would like to throw in right off the top of my head. If we're moving out of resource locations anyway, I would like a copy of Coin.
Okay.
Works nicely with Maester Miles again.
Absolutely.
And just in general, I've always been real happy in any game that I've gotten Coin out.
I completely agree. I'm pretty fond of that card.
It's also potentially combos with our Lead Link to kind of negate some challenges. So,
I don't know how to spell coin.
I can spell crazy.
Q-H-O-Y-N-E.
What the fuck?
Fucking crazy made-up language.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, that's 13 locations. Is there a 14th that we
Yeah, I'm actually running a little search here to see what else might be useful.
I mean, what I will say is that we did put in desperate measures, which requires you to kneel and influence.
Right.
I mean, we've got our summer seas, but in a perfect world, those get expelled.
Summer,
you know?
Seas and Kedri. I'm actually wondering if we should maybe consider dropping the Palace Fountains for Dornish
Fectums.
And then, you know, maybe see if there's another influence event that's worth running. Something else, mm-hmm. you know, like, say, what is it? Prince's Wrath, that just costs one.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Red Vengeance is two, but, I mean, we could... I don't know.
If we went Red Vengeance, I'd be okay with it. It's super powerful. I'd just look at maybe throwing in a few influence characters along with Kadri.
Well, my idea was to get rid of the advisors, even though they're good, and put in the advisor to the crown.
Yeah, the other type of advisor.
Yeah, the other type of advisor. And we could Pale Steel link in our Southron scavengers. Say what? I've done that before. I made that deck.
That just came out of left field.
Yeah,
it's because I thought that it was called Southron Fiefdom, so did a search for Southron.
Oh.
But it's not.
It's not Dornish Fiefdom.
It's Dornish, yeah.
Okay. Man, I don't know if I want to drop the Old Town Advisors, but I do kind of like the thought of... the advisor to the crown, and maybe throwing in a copy of Luralu.
Luralu.
Yeah, I tried it out in a few games with Martell Knights of Hollow Hill a couple months ago,
mm-hmm.
and it actually was a lot better than I expected it to be. In
how the hell do you spell Luralu?
It's like L-H
O-R-U-L-U.
Oh, God.
Yep. And it does... For any of the chains that just need a kneel rather than kneel to do X, it gives us the possibility to reuse some of that stuff by kneeling someone to participate in a challenge and then using Luralu back
That's
out
true.
Tandem.
That's funny.
But that may be getting too cute. I don't know. Though looking right underneath that in the location list I'm looking at, I do see Lord Doran's Chambers.
Yeah, we probably have that.
Copy.
Yeah. I was actually just thinking that.
Yeah, not sure why we skipped that earlier.
Because we are not bright people.
Yep.
Speak for yourselves. I'm a genius.
We could run triplicates of observation point, but it seems like a bad idea.
Yes, already put
it
in
is.
3x.
Bad idea.
Put in 3x.
If you're going to run 3 observation points, we might as well run 10.
Yeah, that card does.
If you're going to lose, you might as well make yourself lose.
Like, I don't even know how it makes sense. In a Martell deck, like there is no synergy there at all. I've looked for it.
I didn't mean to get us off topic like that.
It's fine. It needed to be said. Nice
okay.
hand you got there. Okay.
So I'm looking at 14 locations. All I added was coin and Lord Doran's Chambers. Are any of the others, you know? Pressing enough. Like I said, Luralu may be getting too cutesy. I don't know. Did we want to look at dropping the Palace Fountains for Fiefdoms instead?
Probably
oh, yeah.
we should.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Consider that change made.
Fantastic.
Now, if we're going that route, then are we going ahead and throwing in Red Vengeance?
It's crazy good.
Mm. Well, did we take out the other advisors yet? Like, I still don't know if that's enough influence with the way it stands without the advisor.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, well, I mean, if we're going to run Red Vengeance, we need to run advisor to the crown.
I don't know that we necessarily have to. Keep in mind, we're only sitting at 14 characters. we don't really have any weenies right now. And Martell does have some nice influence weenies.
Well, we could pop those weenies in with the Pale Steel Link.
Yes, we could.
That's beside the point.
That's beside the point. I mean, right now we're sitting at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're sitting at 8 influence providing cards.
I mean, so, if we're gonna run Red Vengeance, we need more influence.
Yes, but
and distant measures, you know.
What
it adds I mean, up? Just
I mean, yeah, with one cost influence effect, I'm fine. I mean, I'd honestly be fine with what we have now because we only ever need one. With Red Vengeance, we would need either Maester Kedri or two of the other cards. And at that point, I'd want to run more influence.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at. And we have a dearth of military icons. If we played a playset of the...
The Tower Captain.
Tower Captain, yeah. Would that be doable? Or run a playset of them and a couple of... Or one or two of the Advisors to the Crown. I'm not really feeling dropping the Old Town Advisors. But I don't know.
We're talking about adding tower captains.
Yeah, which I think would be nice to help with the icons mm-hmm. spread a little.
That's a good point.
If we add the tower captains and keep everything else the way we had it, that brings us to 11 influence cards.
Okay.
I could see maybe drop in one advisor. Then we've got a couple different ways that have two influence together. 12 total influence cards. 6 cards that require influence as a cost.
I'm cool with that.
With the potential to search out with the plot or to grab one with desperate measures if we need.
Mm-hmm.
So if we add in one advisor to the crown, by my count, that brings us to 52 total cards, 18 of which are characters. So I think those other 8 probably ought to lean towards characters.
Need to be characters.
Yes.
And maybe cut some other cards for more characters.
That's probably a good idea.
Maybe. I mean, if we've got 18 cards and we're adding 8 more to bring us to 26, I mean...
We are taking 7 cards out of the
deck.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
That's about half of our actual draw deck. So that I think that would have put us right about on target.
That's a good point. As far as characters go, we should probably pick the big Martell power players then.
Some of them. If we've got the Pale Steel, and we definitely do need to be looking at setup and all, I think we need to throw in Lost Spearman.
Yep.
He also, thankfully, helps round out that icon spread.
Sir Aeris Okhart. Even without playing Copper Link, he's a... Auto include.
He's totally worth it. Yep.
Because he rules.
And then, how many Red Vipers are we going to play?
I'm leaning towards 2.
I could be fine with 2. I'm glad you didn't say 1 because then we would have 5 on our hands.
Yeah, I was.
But now we have to know which Red Viper.
Prince of the Sun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's the best.
As much as I adore the other Red Viper, and it has picture perfect art, and it's still a rad card, the other Red Viper is just so baller. Especially in this deck, I think he'll shine.
That leaves us slots for 2. I'm going to say one of those needs to be Arion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately doesn't help the icon spread much, and nor does the other card that I was going to mention. Which was going to be Ilaria Sand because I love her.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with losing some military challenges, you know, whatever. We got Viper's Rage. We got toys. We'll be fine.
Oh, you know what? I think I jacked up the count. I think when I clicked to add Red Vengeance, I must have not actually added it like I meant to. So my apologies. When I correct that and add Red Vengeance, we have 63 cards if we play the full set of Red Vengeance. So we may need to tweak.
Do we have Choosing the Spear in there yet?
No, we don't. I was also going to bring that up.
So we've got six cards.
So we would be at 66 with play sets of both of them. I would not really suggest us leaving all of those then, because that's going to be 12 events and three non-setup attachments, so essentially 15 events.
I mean,
in
I'm okay.
A, like, 43-card draw deck.
I mean, I'm okay with cutting, choosing the spear. Like, I don't know if we necessarily need it. I would also watch the amount of events we're playing, just with desperate measures. You know, we're not going to get a second crack at those events if we choose not to grab it in that moment, you know?
I mean, do you guys want to... I mean, I know it was my idea originally, but cutting Viper's Rage, maybe? I mean, the card's crazy good.
Maybe not play a full set of it. Maybe drop it to two and then drop Choosing the Spear.
Oh, I love
Choosing the Spear is just pretty baller.
I mean, it's all right. The main thing it does for this deck is give an extra use to the Maesters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. And it's not like our deck's based around it like some like Rusted Maesters is.
Right.
That's a good point.
It's not terrible. It's just in the end, the direction we went, I'm not sure it winds up using that quite as much as we thought it we would.
Yeah, I'll be fine with that. So that's four cards. We just need to cut two more.
Yep. The question is what?
Cut down to two Red Vengeances, maybe?
I could maybe see that. Still leaves you with the threat of activation there.
Yeah. And once an opponent sees a Red Vengeance, they have to expect there's three.
Right. Well, and if we dropped the extra Red Vengeance there, can we afford to drop one of the influence cards? Like one Dornish Fiefdom, or drop that advisor we added? Or
I'd prefer to drop the Fiefdom over the advisor, honestly.
I'm okay with that.
The advisor on his own can pay for Red Vengeance.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get him turn one.
Yeah, but if we open a hand of two Red Vengeance, we can just at the gates for him immediately. Speaking of at the gates, we do need to hit up plots.
Yes, we do.
I was about to forget it until they're only at the gates.
Oh no, I hadn't forgot them. So I wouldn't have let us skip past that.
Thank God for you, William Lutz.
So we definitely need at the gates.
Yep.
I think we also need Forging the Chain, because that's going to be a good little chunk of what we were planning to do here.
Absolutely.
Okay, what else do we need past that, however?
I mean, Valor Mobulus.
Yep.
Might as well just get that one out of the way early. And then after that, I'm liking City Plots, honestly.
City Plots, really?
And I know you hate them.
Surprising.
Never play them.
Yep. Never, ever.
City Plots can be really fun, but if we do that, Marwyn's not going to go off, right?
That does give us the chance to abuse Marwyn more if we do run some City Plots.
Yeah, City Plots makes Marwyn better.
Oh, okay.
He just can't copy At the Gates.
I mean, and we're already starting with At the Gates, so that opens up some City Plots after that. I mean, and if we're going to do any more, I definitely want to run City Besieged.
Yep.
It's just too handy to grab a problem location and get rid of it.
City Besieged, City of Soldiers, City of Sin.
Seems pretty reasonable right there.
How many plots does that put us at, Will?
Puts us at six.
Puts us at six? I mean, a two of the spheres, maybe? I mean, I guess this isn't really a rush deck, so it's not really.
We don't really have anything else power grabby wise other than the Red Viper. Let's see what other plots. There's bound to be something interesting.
If we can't think of anything else, City of Spiders is always moment to drop in.
Yeah, I would like that better if we were running Gold Link, actually, though. Outwit is not a terrible option. We do have a handful of Learn Crests floating around.
Let's do it.
What's the name of that plot that? Oh shoot, where Nalt characters can't be killed.
Oh yeah. Stoic Resolve. That plot rules.
Resolve. Not a bad idea in a Maester deck when we're gonna have a way to kneel stuff on command potentially.
Makes me want to have Choosing the Spear back in the deck though.
Oh, so you can kneel.
So you can use their effect pre plot to dodge a Valor and stand them back up.
Yeah. Unless, hold on, I'm going back to choosing the, well, there we go. Yeah, Choosing the Spear's challenges only, so. I mean, you'd have them for challenges.
You still get to use the character.
What else?
I don't know, I like Outwit, or City of Spiders, and then Find Another Cut for a Gold Link. I like those two options.
Forgotten Plans is another fairly useful possibility.
True. Sporadically useful or useless, depending on when you play it.
Yeah, Loyalty Money Can Buy.
Always a good one.
Not terrible. You know, since we are fairly light on military icons, I also really
Muster like... the Realm?
Actually... That's a possibility. I was going to say I actually kind of like double resets in those kind of decks to help thin out the field, since you're not really doing that with military challenges.
Fair enough.
That being, you know, Wildfire Assault in this case for the listeners. You know, Rule
by Decree. Or we could run to terrible. The Spears.
To the Spears, I'm just not really feeling, because we're not getting a big effect out of that as far as
key cards. The only two Renani characters we have are Oakheart, who does rule, and then the Red Viper, who shouldn't be kneeling anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not getting a bunch of like power grab out of it.
Yeah, that pretty well covers the ones that I would look at. I just finished a scroll through all the plots just to see. Any thoughts on which one works?
I'd like the double reset idea. And then probably that Outwit or Loyalty Money Can Buy. Or Loyalty Money Can Buy.
Dang, and Marwyn potentially turns that into three resets if needed.
That's true.
Dang. Looking at him here at the top of the character list makes me want to go Wildfire.
Let's go Wildfire, then. I'm cool with it.
Okay.
That's fine.
Cool. Well, there we go.
There we go. What are we going to call this deck?
You know, that's a great question.
I like Cocaine Modern Machine.
Oh, I was going to go Modern
Cocaine Machine
and make a joke at Magic the Gathering's expense.
That's actually pretty funny.
I've never heard of it.
Modern
Masters.
Yeah,
I know. I know. I played in the league. I was just messing around.
Was it very funny?
Shut up. Now, I actually really like the name Cocaine Machine. I've never heard of a name like that before.
We've already had that
for a Martell deck.
Yes.
No, because that deck was called All Your Cocaine Machine Belong to Us or something like that.
Something like that. He's not wrong there, Will. Damon did choose that name.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
Dude,
I do like Modern Maesters.
I've already saved my copy as Modern Maesters.
I feel like we're missing something.
You guys save as you feel led.
Yeah, Cocaine Machine.
All Feral Sex saved are all named Cocaine Machine. It makes it really hard to find what he's looking for.
It is a struggle. It really is, but, yeah.
You have to suffer for art.
Yes.
Okay, so are we set?
I think we're set.
Cool.
Deck number two, done. Bro, Lost. Very nice. Lost. God damn it, they're Lost.
Every single time.
Dude, I've destroyed your props and slops like last like four times. This is like when we used to work together and the printer used to always be out of paper whenever you were trying to print something off. One time, Brett just had a meltdown.
That does sound pretty bad.
He gets on one knee and slams a fist onto the printer. It's like, damn it.
Always run that printer when I'm trying to print, or paper when I'm trying to print. It happened at Chase the other day. Dude, yesterday, in fact.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It happens to me at work all the time now, too.
It's awful. It's awful.
It's hilarious. Okay, props and slops.
Okay, props and slops.
I have a prop. It's two super guitar bros. They are just some YouTube guys that play guitars and they play video game medleys, and they rule. You should check them out. Brett?
I'm probably not going to do that.
All right. Well, Will?
Okay. Well, I've got something. I'm going to prop the show Ripper Street. I've watched the first six out of eight episodes that are out on Netflix, and it's pretty rad. Set in, Victorian England, not long after the Ripper murders, and following, I believe, Division H is the name of the police department that it's following. It's the Whitechapel police who had formerly been searching for the Ripper. And what hooked me, like, I already kind of like Victoriana of all kinds, so I figured out, what the heck, I'll give an episode a shot. And about a minute and a half into the episode, maybe less, I realized that one of the people fighting in like an underground boxing ring was the dude that plays Braun, Jerome Flynn. Yeah. And then by the end of that episode, I realized that he's actually a main character in the show. So I was like, crap, this is awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then a few more episodes in, let's see, what's his name? Ian Glenn, mm-hmm. Ser Jorah Mormont, was in an episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ser Jorah Mormont.
Which was awesome. And I realized, I went over here to IMDb a little while ago so I could look up Jerome Flynn's name because I couldn't remember it. And scrolling down here, I see that Christian Nairn is in two episodes, which I assume must be the two I have yet to see.
Yeah.
So, like, half the cast of Game of Thrones is in it. Uh-huh.
Although, I mean, when you start watching a lot of BBC dramas, you realize there's only actually, like, 10 characters, like, 10 actors in England, and they're all in everything.
Oh. Well, then. I guess that means they're all awesome.
Yeah. I'm ready for Benedict Cumberbatch to come to Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm not sure who he would be, but it would be
awesome.
I think
he's too famous, honestly.
Dude, he's...
He should have been the Red Viper.
Corn half hand.
Griff.
No.
Quentin Martell.
No, that'd be a waste of a really good star.
I know. I mean, Sean Bean style.
Yeah. Touche.
Poor Sean Bean. He's made a living out of dying. But seriously.
That dick dies.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's to Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. They put season 4 up on Netflix about a week ago, and I slammed through it in the last, like, 3 nights. I mean, granted, there's only, like, 15 episodes in the season, but that's still pretty impressive because I usually watch about, like, 30 minutes of Netflix a night, and I've watched way more than that.
Dang.
Yeah. That's a great show, though. It really is.
It rules. I love it. Colonel Mustang.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, what's his name? The Strong Arm Alchemist guy?
Oh, Alex Armstrong.
Yes, that guy is incredible.
Yeah, he's really cool. you mean? I don't know if you've watched it, but you meet his sister eventually, and she rules also.
I think she showed up in the original Full Metal Alchemist.
But did she? I never finished the original Full Metal Alchemist, and I like Brotherhood a lot more from what I've seen.
I mean, Brotherhood actually follows the manga.
No, does it?
Yes, that's why they came out with Brotherhood. Yeah. So the original had gotten up to where the manga was, but then obviously it takes less time to make a cartoon than it does a manga, so they just like went off on their own story. So the Brotherhood stays, you know, it stays more true. Like some of the names are different and the story, like some episodes that are similar to the other ones, but they happen more accurately to the manga. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
I don't read any manga, so I never knew that.
Yep. Well, now you know.
I do.
That's a good prop. Good for you.
Thank you. I have a slop.
Okay.
And it's something that Dale reminded me of earlier. It's to having your printer at work run out of paper.
Yes.
It infuriates me every time it happens, because it always seems to happen to me and only me.
It is the worst feeling of all time.
I guess that's because you are kind enough to refill it for everyone else.
Bless your soul.
That's probably true. I should start just like refilling it with a sheet of paper to print off whatever I need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a slop to myself. Currently, I have started and stopped playing, and like am going on and off with like six different video games because I just can't decide what to play.
Dude, I've been there.
Like I'm like 8 hours of Torchlight 2.
Nice.
An hour of Ni No Kuni. Like 12 hours collectively of Deus Ex, for the new Deus Ex, Human Revolution. There was something else I started and stopped. I can't remember. It was a computer game. It's the name is escaping me. Oh, Secret World.
The one you keep mentioning.
Yes, I've played that. I probably put in like 7 hours of that. Like
they're not keep playing Never Together.
Never Together.
Way to be.
That's the only reason I got that game was to play with Brett. And
that's the only reason I reinstalled it and repatched it was to play with Daryl. And yet we still never play together.
It's, you know, our schedules just, they clash. And the days we have off, like, I mean, Wednesday is the main day and we play D&D that night. So
yeah.
we are unable to play video games together. And I just can't commit to anything. I have no idea why.
Dude, Daryl, the other night I stared at my Steam library for about 45 minutes trying to figure out what I wanted to play, and then didn't play anything.
Many games.
Dude, I do that all the time. I do it all the time. Seriously. Played some Minecraft yesterday with Robin. Nice. She loves that Minecraft. Dude, it is a fun game. And you don't do anything in it. Like
absolutely nothing.
Then nothing happens.
It's an amazing game.
It's like Legos for adults. It's crazy.
Yes.
Well, Legos for everyone, to be fair. Little kids can build better shit than me.
Yeah, Kylie plays it.
Yeah, I'm sure her house looks way better than mine. And,
yeah,
you know,
did a pretty good job for her house.
Yeah, you know, and just currently, I just can't figure out what to play. I have a copy of fucking Far Cry 3 that I bought that I haven't even opened yet. I mean, I played the game before, but I bought it because it was $20 a while ago. Like, I bought it like a month and a half ago. It is still sealed up. Like, I don't know what my deal is, but, like, I'm one of those people where if I have too many options, I just choose to not do anything.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest feeling ever.
That's exactly what I do.
How bizarre.
So that's my slop.
Thanks for running with the game there.
You're welcome.
Or the song, rather. Well, you know, I don't think I have any slops this week, but I think I have some more props because, you know, here I am flipping through IMDb again. To see what else Ian Glenn's been in, and I see that he is in Kick-Ass 2, and I think, man, if I wasn't already excited about that movie.
That rules.
So is Jim Carrey.
Yes, and he does look pretty awesome from what I've seen in the previews.
I'm really excited about that movie.
Yep.
I heard that movie came out, and then Jim Carrey was like, I can't support this movie.
I mean, it didn't come out. They'd already filmed it. That's not mean it hasn't come out yet.
Oh, yeah.
But Jim Carrey did say that he can't support it because of the violence.
Yeah, which kind of boggles my mind since, you know, he agreed to be in it to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I heard it was after the
the San Diego tragedy.
Yeah, yeah. Which I guess I understand. It's just kind of a weird thing. But anyways.
Oh well. Anyway, let's just all think about Ser Jorah Mormont.
I always do. Sir
Daenerys Targaryen, I want to take your clothes off all day long.
Whenever you're 18.
Yeah.
Because that's what Ser Jorah Mormont's really thinking.
Yes.
18 years old. I'll wait for you, Khaleesi.
And there you go. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful moment to leave our listeners with for this week.
So thank you for listening to this fine episode of Two Champs, One Chump. Join us next week. Maybe at the same time and same place, depending on what puts this episode up.
Yep. It's going to be back to the normal time. No special stuff going on there. But feel free to email us as usual. Daryl, where would they do that?
TwoChampsAndACHump@gmail.com. You can hit us up through our Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, TwoChampsOneChump @twitter.com.
Mm-hmm.
Any of that stuff. There's something I was going to remind listeners to do. I can't remember.
Well, while you think, I do just want to say we've been getting a lot of activity over on the Facebook page lately.
We have been.
We're creeping up on 400 likes now.
Yeah, getting dangerously close. We're at 380-something.
Yeah. Several people have been messaging or commenting and that sort of thing lately. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for the interaction.
Yeah. Me too.
Yep. And the idea of a live stream event is still there, but no one
has said anything about
it. No one's told us that they want us to do it. So honestly, we won't do it if no one tells us we want to.
You're looking at it the wrong way, Daryl. No one has said they don't want it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe they all want it.
Yes.
I mean, I realize a lot of our listeners listen on their way to work or something like that, which is fine. I would imagine that we would also record the episode and put it out there online to listen to as well. I don't know, but
yeah.
If you want it, we'll give it, if you know what I mean.
Daryl will be just giving it out.
Just two hands, lubed up, ready to roll.
Yep.
Daryl's motto.
Danger zone! Go.